Thank you very much. And I thank God for Dorothy. You know, she hears God from her heart. And so I'm just looking forward to what God has put on her heart this morning. So Lord, I just pray that you will release your anointing, double portion of your anointing on Dorothy this morning as she brings your word, Lord, word to change our lives, word to mold us into the likeness of Jesus, word that we will go out and share the love of Jesus with people out there. So Lord, just sustain her this morning and anoint her over and over again from the top of her head down to her toes. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Franz. My heart is beating like anything now. When I was preparing for this, you put your name down on the schedule like 4 or 5 weeks ahead. Yeah. And then you get to the last week and you think, I haven't really, I need to get started on that preach. I had no time. I saw no time whatsoever, but I knew that God had given me a word because I'd got the first bit. So I knew he wanted to say something. And so I just declared right at the beginning of the week that nothing is impossible with God, that where I see no time, he is in control of time. He has it. And we did it. We did it together, which is good. But when I first started at the beginning of the week, I was just sitting down. And I had that time in my mental, you know, in my space. I have time. I could write nothing or do nothing. All I could do was just sit in his presence because that was the most important thing to do. And for you guys today, that is the most important. It's not getting something down on paper. I have got something down on paper, Florence. It's not getting something down on paper. It's not having to do something. It's sitting in his presence. That's so important. Anyway, on with our talk. When Jesus died, the curtain was torn in two. This was a big curtain, taller than this house building. I don't know how big it was. It was very, very big. When he died, it was torn from the top to the bottom. Gives us free access to him for ourselves. We no longer need to go through a priest. We no longer need to go and ask somebody else to speak to God for us. We can do it for ourselves. It's for personal relationship. It's to get to know him. It's to see him every day of our lives, not just on the Sunday. It's to glorify his name and to see his kingdom come here on earth. This was reported in Matthew, Mark, and Luke Gospels. Matthew 27:51 said, "Behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks were split." Mark 15:38, "The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Luke 23:45, "When the sun's light failed, the curtain of the temple was torn in two." Three times. You can't deny it. It's there. It's truth. Now we can either choose. We have our decision to make, to stand outside that curtain, to not enter into what God has offered, to not accept him into our lives and not live for eternity. God doesn't force us. It's a choice. We can choose to stay this side of the curtain and not enter in and not say anything. I pray that you will all choose to accept him and to know him and to reach out to him, because that's why he came and that's why he died. But we could choose to accept him in our lives and go that little bit further by accepting him. We can ask him into our lives, but then not go much further. Just imagine a curtain, not go much further. The curtain is access to his presence. So we could accept him and then not go much further, not change what we're doing, not change our habits, not pray very much, not attend church. Lots of knots there. But just carry on plodding along like we were. Or we could choose to go that little bit further and talk to somebody about our love for God and Jesus, or pray for a friend, or worship in private. All these things to build our relationship with our Father God in heaven. Sorry. Or we could dare to go even further and deeper in our relationship with him. We could enter further behind that curtain and into his presence and his kingdom and ask for more. More of him, more of his presence, and more of his guidance in our lives. That, what I've just said, it reminds me a lot about the parables of the seeds, when the sower is sowing them, and some of them land on the rocks, and they don't really grow. Some of them land within the weeds, they grow a little bit, but then they're caught and tied, and they don't produce much fruit. Some of them grow on the fertile land, and they grow, and they produce amazing fruit. I'm not going to read that, but you can read it in Matthew 13:1-9 if you want to. But it's a heart thing that I'm talking about this morning. It's not a physical curtain, but if you want, and I know sometimes it helps people to do a physical action, it's like a proclamation. You could have a curtain. You could have a curtain hanging up, and you could stand in behind it. And you could choose to open it and enter and physically say to God, I'm entering to your presence. I'm removing, thank you for removing that curtain. I'm entering in, Lord, because I want to find more of you. I want to be in your presence. I want to know what you know. I want to see what you see. Wouldn't that be an amazing prayer to do? Even a piece of material would do it, or a door. You can do that if that helps you to do that. If that helps you, go home and do it. I didn't bring a curtain. So my talk today is about wanting the more. Seeing what God is knowing. Seeing what God is doing and knowing him well. Well enough to follow him without question. Knowing his ways and trusting and obeying to see what he is going to do next. We do that well in our church anyway. We do that well. I love how God talks to me. This idea for the talk came because I went and got a new pair of glasses and I had the reactor light lenses put in it. So whenever you're walking around, if there was a bit of sun, they change, but apparently it's the UVAs. And I had the extra protection put on so that it would change when I'm driving. All I was doing was walking around with sunglasses on the whole time. It was absolutely ridiculous. So I'm going in the house, I'm going outside the house, and I felt like I was walking in a fog. And it made me think spiritually. And I said, God, I do not want this. I do not want to be walking in a fog. I want to see you clearly. I want to know you well. I want to go further with you. So I actually went back to the shop, and I had my glasses changed. They're now in the car. There's an identical pair to these, but they don't have the reactor lights in them. I can see clearly physically when I'm walking around because it's not summertime. I don't need to have sunglasses on yet. But spiritually, that's the thing. That's the thing, to see clearly spiritually. That's what I want to talk about today. I thought it was quite a deep thing to get from just a pair of glasses. So that he can be seen for his kingdom and his glory. It's not important that we're seen. It's important that he is seen through us. So, curtain was torn, not just for us to enter, but for everyone to come through to know him. It's not just the secular people. The whole of the world, he's died for everybody. The curtain was torn for everybody to go through, to go and see him and talk to him and know him better. So we're actually going to look at Luke 7:21, where Jesus healed many blind people. And I know that's a physical blindness, but it has connection to what I'm talking about. And we totally today believe in physical healing and for people to be prayed for blindness and to be seen and to see, rather. We totally believe in healing. But we can also pray for our spiritual blindness, like the fog that I felt that I was walking in, to be healed and our eyes to be opened to what God is doing. So one of the healings from blindness is in Mark 8:22-25. Jesus and his followers came from Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch them. So Jesus took the blind man's hand and led him out of the village. Then he spit on the man's eyes. He put his hands on the blind man and asked, "Can you see now?" The man looked up and said, "Yes, I see people, but they look like trees walking around." And again, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then the man opened his eyes wide. His eyes were healed, and he was able to see everything clearly. To this occasion, Jesus prayed twice. We may have to ask more than once for our eyes to be opened. I think definitely more than once. We may have to ask every single day for him to reveal his word for us, to us, for him to reveal, what are you doing? What do you want to do? Where are we going? Keep asking, guys. Don't just ask it once and then expect to know everything in the world. It's going to be too much for us. Or you might not hear. Sometimes the answer's in different ways. You've got to listen. You've got to stop. Ask the question. What are you doing? Where are you going? Open my eyes. Let me see you. Stop and listen for his answer. It's like Holy Spirit, when we ask for Holy Spirit to fill us. It's not just a one-off. We need to keep asking all the time. We sing the song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you, high and lifted up." If we want to see him more, then we need to ask more than once. Different areas of our lives. So, for example, if we want to see truths in the Bible revealed to us more, then we ask. You wrote a beautiful blurb on the Bible and reading it and getting to know it, and that was really good, and that helped. I don't know, it was one of them. I remember it. It's just popped in. If we want to see more miracles, then ask. If we want to see more people saved, ask. Whatever we want to see more of, then we just ask and pray about it. And then find a nice cozy chair, sit in it, sit down and wait for it to happen. Don't think so. Don't think so. We're part of God. We're part of what he's doing here on earth. We want to see these things. We ask, we pray, we think, we listen to the answer. We get active. We do that well here. We do that well. So set a time. So if you're just praying, "I want more, reveal more of your Bible," make time to sit and read your Bible. Simple, really. Make time. If we want to pray, if we want to see more miracles and people healed, ask for opportunities to pray for people and then go and do it. I'm speaking to myself here. I'm speaking to myself as well. It sounds easy when you say it. It is easy. Just go and do it. It's not hard. You might be embarrassed. What's that in eternity? What's a bit of embarrassment? Not a lot. It's fine. You want to share Jesus with people more? You want people to know Jesus? Go talk to them about Jesus. Ask for guidance from Holy Spirit. Go do it. You want to see them more? You're part of the more. You're part of that action. You're part of moving. Bible tells us, ask and you will receive. Ask for it. He's going to give you opportunities. Whatever it is that you want to see the more of, he'll give you the opportunity. And then there's a very short sentence at the end of Luke 5:17 from New American Standard Version. It says, "The power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing." It's talking about Jesus. And I thought, well, it did get me thinking, because the power of the Lord, but you're the Lord, you're Jesus anyway, you're three in one, so isn't the Lord with you all the time? But it said it was present for him to perform healing. So maybe there was times that he couldn't perform the healing, or the healings wasn't necessary. I don't know. That's way over here for my brain that I can't figure that one out. But the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. If the power of the Lord is with us, it is present. He is present for us, for him to perform healing through us. Did you get that? Good, I'm glad you got that. So if we're going to move, if we're going to say, "I want to see healing more, I want to see this more, I want more of this, I want more of that," we can wander off, do it on our own, be brilliant, go pray for somebody. It's going to be fantastic. If God's not with us, I suspect we're not going to see the healing. That person will feel blessed, that person feel loved, you'll feel fantastic, I did something. But if you're doing it without God, the power is not there. You cannot perform healing. You cannot, I'm going to leave that, you cannot perform the healing. God has to be in you and with you for him to perform the healing through you. So don't go without God. Take him along. If you're going to pray and ask for something, don't get overexcited that you leave him at home. He's going to be there with you all the time. Go with him. It's much more fun. He has to shine through us. So we need him in us to do that. I know that I'm speaking to people that know all this. I know that you all know God well and that you are willingly praying for healings for people. Also, as a church, we have a strong belief in healing and that God can heal people. We've seen healings here. So I know you know this. I think it was the phrase of teaching ducks to suck eggs. That's not a sentence, is it? Teach your grandma to suck eggs. But that, don't even know. I know you guys know this. It's just a refreshing. It's something that's God put on my heart today. I'm just emphasizing the fact that it's not us that does the healing. It's God in us that heals the people that we pray for. It's our relationship with Jesus. That's the clear vision. We need to be clear on that. So we can ask ourselves, what would Jesus do here if we were in a situation? What does Jesus want to do here? Not necessarily, yeah, oh, I know, I remember this from the Bible. He does this, he does this, he does this. Maybe he wants to do something different in the situation you're in. So ask him, what does he want to do? I want to see more of you here, Lord. I don't necessarily want to see everything you've done in the Bible. I'd love to see everything he's done in Bible, by the way. But what is it you're wanting to do right now, here today? Ask him, listen, then step into what he's saying with him. I think it's almost like our hearts and minds need to be reset to be like his. Sometimes we've got to stop that, like I did at the beginning as a week. Stop all the busyness and everything. Stop and sit and be with him. Reset our mind, almost like to factory. You know they do a factory reset? God made us right at the beginning to be like him. Let's get that reset in our mind. Let's be like him. So that part, I'm saying pray and ask. Ask for the clear vision. Ask God to reveal areas in our lives. Maybe there's hindrances and obstacles that are stopping us seeing him, like the fog in the eyes. Ask God to reveal that to us and then pray into it for ourselves and say, get rid of this, Lord, because I want to see you. This is in my way right now and I don't want it there. Whatever that is, get someone to pray with you about it if you're finding something. So pray and ask for the blind areas in our lives to be healed, sight restored. And when we see a little, like the man saw the people like trees, then ask to see some more. See the little and then ask for some more. So I'm going to shift it up a bit now and look in Luke 2, 25 to 32. Telling the story of Simeon. I'm going to read from 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel." God told Simeon something special, that he would see the Messiah before he died. It was revealed to him by Holy Spirit. And what happened? Oh, sorry. When it happened, Simeon knew it. There must have been loads of babies coming to the temple, not just Jesus on that day. I think there would have been lots of babies. How did Simeon know that that was going to be the Messiah? He didn't have a big sign on his head. He didn't wear a crown. He was like any other baby, wrapped up with his mother carrying him. He knew because of Holy Spirit. He knew because he was a follower of God. He knew because his connection with God. God reveals things. And the more we walk with him, the more things will be revealed so that we know them. And then we can step into what God is doing. And Simeon was quite happy. He'd seen the Messiah. He was quite happy then. He thanked God. He felt peace. And he said, that's okay. You know, I can die now, sort of thing. I can die happy. We don't know how long he lived after that. We don't need to know how long he lived after that. We just need to know that Simeon walked with God. He knew God and God revealed things. But God also gave him a promise, the promise that he would see the Messiah before he died. And the Bible is full of God's promises. So we're just going to look at a couple. But I'm just wondering, how often do we pray and ask for things and then maybe not stop and listen for the answer? So Simeon knew. He knew he was going to see. As soon as he saw the Messiah, he knew that was him. Can you imagine being Simeon, by the way, and holding baby Jesus in your arms, knowing that that he was going to grow into who he grew into and all that? It's amazing. So if we want to continue to see what God is doing, we have to spend time with him, sit with him, read his word and claim his promises. God says he will never leave us or forsake us. That's a promise. He's always with us. God said we will do as Jesus did and more. That's a promise. We can pray. We can see the healings when Jesus is with us. We can receive money to pay bills because when we haven't got enough money. Remember the story of the coin in the fish's mouth? That's a promise of finances. God says he will instruct us and teach us in your way. Instruct us and teach us in the way we should go. He will counsel us with his loving eyes on us. That's a promise. He guide us and help us to see more of him. Isaiah 40:31. Those who have hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's a promise. God will strengthen us when we need it. So let's pray over our own lives and over the lives of our families and claim these promises in the Bible. Knowing the word gives us access to God, therefore opening our eyes more to his truth and to his love for us. And then we come to Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Three men in Daniel chapter 3. They had a clear vision of who God was and who they were walking with God. They refused to bow down to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar, the golden statue he'd built, and he'd said to everybody, you need to bow down. I'm going to pray, play music. I'm going to do this and you need to bow down. I don't want to read the whole of the story. It's a brilliant story. You can find it in Daniel chapter 3. But he found out that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were not bowing down. And he came to see them and he said, no, you need to do this. You need to do this because I've built this golden statue. We're worshipping him in the minute. And they refused to. He said to them, I'm going to play the music. I'm going to play the flutes. I'm going to play the harps. All these are going to do and you need to bow down. This bit I am going to read. He said to them, if you do not worship, you will be immediately thrown into the blazing fiery furnace. What God will be able to save you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego answered and said, we have no need to answer you about this matter, since our God, whom we serve, does exist. He is able to save us from the blazing fiery furnace. So he may save us from your hand, your majesty, If he does not, you should know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up. They knew who they were. They knew who their God was. They refused to go and worship any other god, anything, even if it cost them their lives. I think, are we in that place? There's a lot of other gods. Like, different areas of life. So too much Facebook, too much of this, too much of going, spending time somewhere else, which are like gods in our lives that we have to do before we come to our own God. Let's stand up for our God and say, no, we will put aside all these things, all these hindrances, all these obstacles, because they are not the one true living God that we serve. They are things that are getting in my way. But they knew who they were, not afraid. They said, God may save us. It wasn't a guarantee that we went in the fire. They said, he may save us. But they were still prepared to go because he might. And if he didn't, they'd be in eternity with him anyway. They weren't worried to stand up for their God. They were not bowing down. So Nebuchadnezzar had them put in the furnace. He'd heated it up 7 times hotter than it should have been. The men that bound them and took them down to the furnace, they died. They couldn't stand the heat. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego just went into the fire. And when they were in the fire, something amazing happened because an angel was in there with them. They were loyal to God. God was loyal to them. He stood with them. He protected them in the furnace. When Nebuchadnezzar and all the other governors looked at the fire, he said, didn't I send just 3 men into the fire? And they all agreed, yes, just 3 men. But no, there was an angel in there with them. Because as we are loyal, as we step out, as we move, as we do something for God, God is there with us. He is no way leaving us. He was there. Nebuchadnezzar had them called out of the fire and they didn't even smell of fire. They were not singed. Not a hair on their head was touched. And because of that, Nebuchadnezzar declared their God to be a God of to them to be servants of the Most High God. He said to people around, you need to serve this God now. Don't speak anything against their God, because their God is amazing. Thousands of people, I would imagine, it doesn't tell us, but people would have started following God from then just because somebody stood up and said, I'm not doing that. I'm not worshipping your God. This is what I believe. This is what I'm going to do. God was with them and stayed with them. And because of that, his glory was seen through them. People saw what a loving God this was, a loving God that we now still have today. And they saw that. We need to be people that can step out, that can ask, get these obstacles out of my way. Because God, I want you in my life. I want to know exactly where you are. I want to be following you. I want to worship you and you alone. And Lord, I'm trusting that you're coming along with me. I'm trusting that you are going to be with me. And I'm trusting that people will see you through me. Not me. It's not for my glory. It's for your glory, Lord. Wow. They knew how they were. I'm finishing up soon. They knew who they were. They refused to work another God. Yep, did that bit. I love when I write it and then I don't say it. But that's fine. That said what I needed to say. So, by knowing who they were, by being strong and faithful to their beliefs, others saw God's glory. That's what I want to be. Others to see God's glory through me. Others to see God's glory through you. Yes, to see you. You're not going to totally disappear. But to see God's glory through you. There's people that know God. Let's get to know him better. Let's ask for everything to be moved out of the way. And let's spend that time getting and seeking him more spending time knowing him, so that when we go out and we declare, yes, God, this is my God, people are going to say, wow, I want to know him too. That's my heart for everybody here today, that when we're going out, people will see God in us, so that they can come to know him from themselves and have that personal relationship. But actually, talking about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, I have to mention the angel that we had here a few weeks ago. What God did thousands of years ago, God still does now. He's the same God. He doesn't change. He's right from the beginning of creation, right till the end of the world. He is the same God. What he did for Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, he had the angel protecting them. He had the angel there. He sent help. He sent an angel here a few weeks ago, standing at the front here and worshipping with us. God honors those who honor him. He is an amazing, honoring God, and I love him. The stories in the Bible are not just stories. Not just stories, they're true life. People walked with Jesus. They wrote it down. People prophesied in the Old Testament things that would happen in the New Testament. God is alive today as he was alive thousands of years ago. And he said millions, thousands of years ago. So my prayer for us today is that our eyes will be open more, for us to all search and seek him and to get closer to him, to ask for the more, whatever area of that is in our lives. And I pray for him to shine through us, to be seen by many for his glory and his kingdom. Amen.